Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
And I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Haston with my friend and co-host, Sean Bowles. Sean, I can't wait to see what we're doing today.
Well, we're doing a lot because today's episode is going to speak right into everyone's decision-making process, especially if you've ever wrestled with how to hear from God in your career or your leadership role. In Real Talk with you and I, we're diving into discernment in the workplace and how do we tune into God's still small voice? How do we stay discerning? And how do you listen to the Holy Spirit while making business decisions, hiring staff, launching ideas, all while managing the practical side of life?
You know, discernment is one of the greatest leadership tools we have, but guess what? We wrote a book, Sean, called Wired to Hear, and we have a chapter in there about instinct and intuition, which goes hand in hand with discernment. And so, discernment's underused because we often don't trust God that he's speaking to us in real time, but newsflash, he is.
Absolutely. And
we need to learn to listen so that we can get unlocked in our breakthrough.
Yep. And then later on in the episode, after we talk about that, we're joined by Pastor Jeff Shreve, who's a powerful voice who knows what it means to follow God's lead, even when it means leaving a major career and having a huge change from business to ministry. And so we went to full-time business to full-time ministry and now leads one of the most impactful churches in Texas, which is First Baptist Texarkana, as well as a global media ministry called From His Heart. And so I think this is going to be an important conversation.
I think it is too. It's going to be a life-giving conversation filled with insight, talking about risk and obedience. Let's get into it right after this message from our sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. Well, Bob, in our real talk today, I want to talk about one of the most important and overlooked tools we have in our careers as Christians. It's discernment. And you and I have talked about this so many times, but I like to call that inner knower the feeling in your spirit that says this is right or something's off here. And business leaders all around the world talk about following your gut. But as Christians, we're not limited to just our own perceptions or our own feeling. But we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, helping us to navigate in real ways through our discernment. I know you've had a couple experiences with this that have been some of the most profound ones. I love hearing your experiences in business. Can you think of one that is a good illustration?
Well, before I think of one, I think about like when I listen to the Holy Spirit, it's usually when my wife's talking to me, don't you think?
Yeah. Just listen to your wife. But what if you are the wife? What if you're the woman of the marriage?
Yeah. Then I guess what my point is here is that part of being in covenant, married, and making business decisions is bringing your spouse in to your decision-making process. Like for me, one of the things I realize is that I could be good at tactical decisions, but Lauren is really smart tactically, but she knows relationships. Yeah. And what I've noticed in business is most of the decisions that we have to make are human related, people related, and no one knows people better than Lauren. So, yeah, it's so true. I usually am, you know, asking the Lord, and then I come home and ask Lauren, and the Lord speaks through her all the time. And I think we can't rush into ideas. We can't rush into transition and change. We have to ask the Lord over and over and over again and wait for him to make the way for us. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And that's one of the things that I really, really try to do, is acknowledge him in the decision-making process.
Well, and I like that you have included Lauren, even though she's not actively involved in your business every day, day to day, but you've included her. And some people don't do that. Some people keep it very separate. I've even family members who don't include their spouse in their career at all, like for any of the decision-making. I think they're losing something because they haven't slowed down to on-ramp that person's heart in their process. They're missing a part of God's voice for them. I think that God puts in our community. It doesn't mean that, you know, like Sheree, for everything that I make decisions on, it doesn't mean she has the final discernment on it, but she did, man, she has some wisdom. And then some of the things we do together, like we do some real estate stuff together. And I remember just being in a house that we bought just to live in. And she just kept not having peace about putting more money into it. Yeah, although it needed a renovation, she kept saying, Sean, it was before we moved here to Texas, let's not renovate. No, let's not do it. Let's not do it. And finally, I kept going, honey, I just think we can enjoy living here. Let's do it. She's like, no, something's going to shift. But she thought it was external. She didn't think we were going to move. And then all of a sudden we got the calling to move here to Texas for this season. And we were so glad we didn't put any more money in it, because we would have lost any other money we had put in other than to fix things that we had fixed. But we gained money and we were able to move here way differently because of that. So I think, you know, listening to that place of discernment and then honoring the discernment, even if it's not convenient, I think is a really big piece. Because when you're including other people, sometimes it doesn't come with the same feel of gut as it comes to you yourself. So you have to learn how to include people and listen to their instinct, their gut, their discernment as well.
Yeah, I love that story. And it reminds me, about 20 years ago, we got sued. Our company got sued to become part of a union. Mm. And Lauren did not have peace with it. And you know, in our relationship, we don't make major decisions, business or personal, without both of us being on the same page. And so while I had job sites that were being picketed and had big rats on them, you know, and it was ugly, Lauren did not have peace. And so we were around the negotiating and bargaining table and with the union, and they were flexing their muscles, and they were going to either organize us or were going to run us out of business.
Wow.
And so Lauren had employed a prayer team, you know, to ask, and it took 8 months of me and my business waiting for her to get peace. And she finally did. And that's another funny story how she did. And we ended up signing a union agreement, which eventually changed the whole trajectory of our business for the good. Wow. But that's an extreme, in my life, extreme example of waiting for Lauren and having all my men's group and prayer team praying around something that could really change the trajectory of our business. And it was hard to wait.
Yeah. When you're in those waiting periods, it's like there so many things are happening in you, like that happened because you waited 8 months.
Yeah.
And happening behind the scenes that couldn't have happened if you just made a rash decision or a fear-based decision or just a offended decision. I love that.
Yeah.
I never heard that story. You never told me that one.
It was, the funny thing is that she was in this prayer group with these women. And so she asked all these women, well, what do you think? And the first woman said, I'm sensing from the Lord that you need to be in union with your husband. And as she went around, these women were saying something like the same. And she was thinking, like, you guys are all wimps. Are you kidding me? And but by the end of it, she realized, oh, this is the Lord speaking. And that's what happens when you marry a powerful woman or you have a powerful spouse. These kind of funny stories happen. But I think getting back to discernment, Sean, I love the topic for today. And 1 Corinthians says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. Only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So we have this unique insight into, you know, God's mail, if you will. If we're opening, you know, the Bible, that's his mail to us. And we read that and we get insights. And I think it's so powerful for business or ministry, marketplace or clergy, anywhere. Yeah. We need to be seeking the face of God.
Well, I think an undercurrent of the show, if you listen to it, is people who've discerned things in their industry or in their times and seasons, because of God that they've been able to succeed in areas that maybe other people were failing in, or that weren't the industry trends, or maybe there was oversaturation there in their industry or their career field, and they were able to thrive, or they were able to pop above because they heard God or because they discerned something. So I feel like that's one of the kind of the themes that comes out all the time in the show, where, you know, people have to discern the times and seasons they're in, and they have to use that information powerfully. And I feel like some of the guests we've had in the past, like I think of Eric Knapp, you know, who shut down his whole event during COVID. So it shuts down his whole event business to a degree, or that COVID does. He doesn't shut it down, but COVID does. And he has to figure out a new way to make revenue because it was all refunded to everybody automatically. And so I think, you know, like he comes up with a whole new way in the industry to create finances because he discerned something. And he didn't have to let anyone go, and everyone stayed with him and his whole entire employee base. And he wins the award in the Bay Area of all places for the best place to work, the best community culture or company culture. And I'm just thinking, you hear these stories and you go, okay, there's a difference when of opportunity when you're a Christian, if you just pay attention and obey your discernment.
It's so good. I think of Dr. Michael Arce, the emergency room doctor who has some patient come in that's coding, and the whole emergency room is going crazy like you see on TV. And he steps back and asks the Lord, what's going on here? What do I do? And he hears the still small voice of the Lord saying, do this. That doesn't make any sense. And he commands the emergency room team to do it. And then, as he said so humbly, and then we discharged the patient, and you and I were both like, you mean they lived? And he's exactly. Like, well, yeah.
Exactly. And he's so natural about that. He's like, yeah. So it's neat talking to people then after the show, because we know both of them after the show.
Yeah.
And to hear it, they're kind of like, I talked to Michael just the other day after, and we interviewed him what, two or three years ago, and I just talked to him the other day, and he's just so natural with even how he presents what God shows him, and he has total confidence in it because he's been on this journey long term. Mm-hmm. So he has confidence in his career because God put him there. And so he's like, the way he gives medical advice, or the way that I don't know. There's just something about the fruit of longevity, of persevering in discerning God, that you become a different version of yourself. And so I think that's my goal today, is that we even bring up this on the Real Talk, is that as you obey your discernment, it actually gives you opportunity to access a place of faith that makes you a better version of yourself.
It's so good. If you learn to trust the Lord in small things, then when things happen, like in an emergency room, or something happens that's giant, if you've learned to trust the still small voice of the Lord, if you've learned that, you can hear him in the big things when it really matters. And I think preparing yourself to follow him means kind of the obedience of listening to him on a regular basis. And I think our guest today, he walked away from a successful business and decided to transition into the ministry. And I can't wait to hear his story.
Our guest today is Pastor Jeff Shreve, and he's a senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, which is a role he's held since 2003. So it's been a while. But in 2004, he launched also From His Heart Ministries, which shows how you can start in a small town but have a worldwide impact. Wow. Because it's a huge ministry around the world. Before entering full-time ministry, he spent 12 years in the business world, and he now holds advanced degrees in theology, has touched countless lives through both his local church and national platform. And he knows what it's like to inherit an organization and have to turn the whole ship to become something different. And against all odds, he did just that in his local town. And now he's helping Christians stand in real conviction in their everyday life in the age of misinformation and spiritual deception through his new book. So we're going to hear from Jeff and just about his family transition up next.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry, but we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get a resource to you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bulls team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back. We're here with Jeff Shreve. Jeff, we're so happy to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Bob and Sean.
We're so glad you're here. I mean, you've grown a huge kind of media ministry and your church, even when you replanted, I guess that's a good word for it. I mean, you took it from one organization, really transformed the whole culture of it. And so you went from business into this ministry that, like, from a small town usually doesn't happen in such an extensive way. Kind of take us on the journey of where this all started.
Yeah. So, you know, I was in college at the University of Texas. I had just become a Christian my senior year, toward the end of my senior year in high school. In college, I really grew. You know, a lot of people get away from the Lord in college. I really plugged in.
That's awesome.
And grew. And so I was praying about the ministry. Lord, do you want me in the ministry? And I never felt a call for that. So I went back home to Houston after I graduated, got involved in a church, was in a sales job, and met my wife at church, and we got married, had three kids, and I had changed jobs a couple times. I was working for a chemical company, a really good company, hard job. I was kind of restless. I was really restless. And I just said, Lord, I think you have something more for me. And it was at that time, the Lord really made it clear. He was calling me in the ministry. And I was like, well, Lord, now I'm 32 or 33 years old at that time, and I have three kids, and I have a mortgage, and I have a high-paying job. How can I go in the ministry? And so it was a real struggle, and the biggest issue was finances. I didn't know how I was going to be able to do that. But the Lord provided. He opened the door for us to leave Houston, go to Southeastern Seminary in North Carolina. This was in the 90s. I left in 96. And I was there for a year and doing really well. And then my pastor, Damon Shook, who is pastoring Champion Forest Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, he called me and said, hey, why don't you be my assistant? You can finish up seminary here. I'll teach you and train you about pastoring. And so we did that. And I was there for 5.5 years before I came to First Baptist Texarkana. The first church I ever pastored full, you know, as the guy, I was the backup quarterback at Champion Forest. And everybody loves the backup quarterback, as you guys know. When you become the main guy, that's when they start, you know, picking at you. And I don't like this. I don't like that. Yeah. So it was tough. First Baptist Texarkana always had, you know, kind of Dr. Stuffy shirt was their pastor. And I didn't have a doctorate at that time. I had a master's degree from I ended up getting it from Southwestern Seminary in Dallas or Fort Worth there. And so it was a lot of challenges. The church needed to change. And I think I shared with you guys that the kind of running joke with me and a couple of the deacons, I said, okay, here's the deal. How much surgery can the church endure before Pastor Jeff dies?
Oh my gosh. Right.
Well, because you guys know people will only, they'll only take change up to a point, and then they're like, we're changing you. And so I got real close to them wanting my head, but the Lord blessed. And so now here we are today, and things are really going well, and we praise the Lord for that.
Jeff, let's go back to, you mentioned, like, how am I going to exist with a wife and three kids?
Yes.
So your high paying job, and then you went into the ministry. And How did that all work? I mean, it couldn't have all been easy.
No, it wasn't easy. And the Lord really convicted my heart, because as I was battling, saying, well, Lord, you know, I wish you'd called me in the ministry when I was in college, because then it would have been easy. I could have gone straight from college to seminary. And I said, how am I going to do this with a wife and three kids? And I have bills. And, you know, Lord convicted my heart. And he just said, well, Don't you? I mean, I am God. you know, you, how much money do you need? $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month. Don't you think that I can provide for that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very convicting. It was like, well, yeah, Lord, I mean, of course you can. And so I said, okay. And that was my get out of the boat moment. Like, Peter, right. Lord, yeah. If it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. So Debbie was not for going in the ministry at oh, wow. all. Mm-hmm. She said, you have heard from Satan. This is not what God wants for us. Her dad was a pastor. She was an only child, and her dad was always gone and married to the church. And so she said, I don't want that for me. I don't want that for our girls. And you don't understand what this ministry life is like. I do. I lived it. And so it took her a while to come around. But when she came around, I loved what she said. She really prayed about it. And she said, okay, I don't think God has called me, but I know he's called you, and he's called me to be your wife. And so I'm with you 100%.
Wow, that's a huge statement, especially, I just think there's these transitions in life where when God invites us into something, we have to surrender to it. It's not always a clear path. It's a lot of times it's that issue of faith in between. And I'm sure people who are listening right now, some of them have ministry aspirations, but some of them have business aspirations or career aspirations. Mm-hmm. And the surrender is the same. It's like saying yes to God, whether it's going to be to go be a doctor or whether it's going to be to be a pastor. It's like when you're saying, I'll do it for you, God, or with you. It's totally different. And so talk about maybe some of the process of like taking over that young church, or for you, it was young to you, but it was an established church that didn't really have a history or track record the way you would lead. And how many years was that before the culture kind of got galvanized into like what you felt was going to bring?
Yeah. So it was, the church was 125 years old I came.
Okay.
And so it's still the biggest church in town, the biggest buildings and all. And it's kind of attracted, you know, Texarkana is a twin city. So it's Texarkana, Texas, Texarkana, Arkansas, about 70,000 total, but it would attract, the church, our church attracted a lot of doctors and business leaders and things like that. And I wasn't used to that. Champion Forest wasn't like that. It was kind of middle manager kind of people. And so it wasn't a lot of business owners and CEOs and doctors and that kind of thing. So this was different. But the church had become a country club. And the pastor search committee told me that. That's what people think of First Baptist Texarkana. It's a country club for rich people. And I was like, well, a church is supposed to be a hospital for hurting people.
Right.
And a place where you can come. The doors are wide open. We don't turn anybody away. And we're going to speak the truth in love and help you get better. We're not a hospice center. We're not just going to tell you what you want to hear and make you feel good till you die. We're going to work on things. And so, you know, change is hard for people. It's hard for church members. And you know, some young guys can do too much too quickly, and you do die because they say that's enough. And I got dangerously close to that. And I was 40 years old when I did that. And, you know, you learn a lot through the years of experience and hard knocks. So, it was very challenging. It took me a long time to like living here. It's way different from Houston. But now we love it. I love living in a smaller town. The pace of life is just a lot easier. And so going through all those bumps in the road and things like that, you know, my encouragement to somebody listening that is just keep your eyes on Jesus. If he called you and he's guiding you, where God guides, he provides, and he does see you through all the difficult days that you'll definitely have.
Yeah, I know Bob has a question for you, but I like what you're saying because I feel like the fact that you're being honest about the fact you didn't really like the city when you were living there, and you didn't like the culture of the church that you were going to pastor, and there's a lot to change, and you even considered I could die in the midst of this. Like that's probably really on the table. That's honest. That's very vulnerable and real in the sense of where you guys are at now. And so I love that because I think people, when they look at their promised land, so to speak, they forget there's giants in the land. They forget there's things to clear. Right. They forget there's a process. And so some people, I've had so many people tell me like, you know, I followed God and this, and they're complaining like, this is what's happening. I'm like, yeah, I keep following, like keep going. And so I love your perspective on that because I think there is an idealism that comes for most people that thinks the majority of things are going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it wasn't that way for you.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Debbie. And we shielded our kids from a lot of that stuff, which was good. But, you know, that when the difficulties come, especially in marriage, those things can pull you apart or they can drive you together. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord was he was really good to us in keeping us solid together so we could just pray through difficulties and. You know, and just say, well, I'm not going to be intimidated. God's called me here. That God is leading these changes. I'm not just cooking this stuff up out of my own head. And the Lord wants our church to be a hospital for hurting people. He wants it to be a place where he can bless and people come to know him and grow in him. And so I knew that that was in the heart of God. And I was going to trust him even through all the hard times.
Wow. I think, Jeff, what I hear you saying is that you had a vision. And, you know, to our listeners and viewers who are in the marketplace and have a vision for their business, when you're transitioning, lots of things can happen. Like you can lose customers or parishioners, in your case you did. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the people who had been there for 125 years were probably still in the pews and telling you that, hey, you know, you're wrong and you need to stay with the same direction that we're all used to. Mm-hmm. And I think when you come in with a vision and a mission and a mandate from the Lord, it makes it easier, but the bumps and the loss are really, really hard. Can you talk about that for a second? And then I'd love to transition and talk about your book.
Yeah. So the biggest thing when you go into a church or you become the CEO of a business that you know is established and you know it needs to change. It's kind of like the book Good to Great. I read the book Good to Great right when I came to First Baptist Texarkana in 2003, and it was you know, one of the first things. You got to face the brutal facts.
Right.
And people in church don't like to do that. They like to think our church is great because they like it. And they don't think in terms of, well, what does a visitor think of this? We have to grow. I told the church early on, I said, if we don't reach young families, we're going to all get old and the church will die. You have to keep younger families coming in the church. They're the lifeblood of the church. But as most people think, they think in terms of, well, what's good for me? I don't really care about young families because as the church loses its zeal for evangelism, it becomes so inward focused and it's all about me. Mm-hmm. And so we really had to break that and say, what are we here for? We're here to reach people and help people grow and reach people for Christ. And so once people started getting on board with that, and it's not immediate. Another principle in the Good to Great is the flywheel principle. You got to keep doing the right things over and over and over. Eventually, things take off, but it doesn't happen right away. And so I think for pastors, for entrepreneurs, you have to be patient. And sometimes that can cause people to leave before. It's like, man, if you had just stayed another 6 months, this thing would have turned around, but you gave up. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine today, Tim Lee, who lost his legs in Vietnam. Mm. And he said, you know, I refuse to give up. I refuse to get bitter. I was just going to keep at it. And God does bless when we stay persistent.
I love perseverance. Yeah, I love that message. Well, take us on a journey then, because in this season, after rebuilding this church to be this incredible structure in the town and having this media ministry that reaches the entire world, you've also written a book recently called The Devil's Newsroom. Now, I'm interested because I'm in the media, and this really addresses, not directly, it's not, the whole point of it isn't about the media, but it's about the devil and how he, and just how to discern. And I think it's really profound. But at the same time, like, we have the lowest trust for the church in America that we've had and probably since the beginning, the lowest trust for media, lowest trust for leadership, all of these things. And this is really part of the tactics of the enemy. And you kind of go over it in your book and you highlight it so well. I haven't read a book like this in my entire Christianity. And so talk about why you wrote this and who it's for and what you're hoping will happen.
Well, I have a strong sense of right and wrong in my own, just the way I'm wired. I'm very black and white. You know, this is true or this is false. Mm-hmm. I tell people I'm a lot more wired like John the Baptist than maybe John the Apostle. And so, you know, just I think people in our day and age, you know, we always talk about this word nuance, and everything is so nuanced, and you're dancing around. You get a lot of pastors just dance around issues. They don't want to just come out and say, hey, this is right and this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a black and white person like I am, you just kind of see it like, this is right and this is wrong. And I never want anybody to walk away saying, well, I'm not sure what Pastor Jeff thinks about homosexuality or abortion or transgenderism or these kind of issues. They may not agree with me, but I want to tell them, hey, this is why I believe X, and this is where it comes from. It comes from the scripture, and give them the passage and the reference point, and this is where you can see this. And so the devil is the master at telling lies. He tells the subtle lies and the twisted lies. He's the liar and the father of lies. And so he is very good at telling you something that sounds pretty good. It's just a little bit off. Mm-hmm. And a little bit off gets you in big time trouble. And so it's kind of in aviation, they have the 1 in 60 rule. For every 1 degree you're off course, after you travel 60 miles, you're a mile from your destination. And as you keep going, just 1 degree off course, you know, it's the difference between taking off at JFK and landing at LAX or landing in the ocean. Big, big difference. And so the point of the devil's newsroom is to help people recognize the devil's lies and how to be able to discern what is good and what is evil, and to make the choice. We have a choice. Are we going to go the devil's way, or are we going to go God's way? Because there are only two real ways to go. My way is never going to line up with God's way unless I repent and turn my attention to understanding his word and spending time with him, because the devil's way always is going to appeal to the flesh. It's going to be what we want to do.
You know, in reading your book, it struck me that these little lies that you're talking about, these little lies, those are hard. It's when he like overplays his hand and tells you a big lie and you're like, wait a second.
Right.
Like I can figure this out. Like this is a lie. And then you look back and then you see all the little ones that have come up to he's been lying, these little lies, and you start to believe them. And then all of a sudden the big one comes up and you're like, hold on. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I think like, we battle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and rulers of the air. And so he's actively scheming against us. And I have to have my full armor on every single day, right, or the little lies build up. And this is what your books talks about so beautifully.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it says in Proverbs, a little sleep when Solomon walks by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, he said it was all broken down, full of weeds. He said, I looked and received instruction. And he said, the answer came back, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a robber and your need like a vagabond. So a person doesn't fall all at once. He falls little by little by little. And it's believing those little lies that cause you to question, is God good? Yeah. Can I trust him? Maybe he's not telling me the truth here. That's how the devil worked with Eve. You know, indeed, has God really said it? Surely he didn't say this. Yeah. And he got her to question God. And once he can get you down that road, he can start feeding you the bigger lies.
No, it's so profound. I'm so glad you wrote the book, and I'm so glad people can get a hold of it. Where can people get the book today?
It's on Amazon, or they can go to our website, fromhisheart.org, or we have a website just simply called thedevilsnewsroom.com. And yeah, I have an audio version of the book for guys that may not be great readers. As you guys know, us as men, we're not always all that great at reading, but to listen to it in the car, listen to it while you're working out, I think it'll be a great resource for our listeners.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for being on today. Thanks for just sharing your story. And I know all of us are going through a kind of internal journey. How do we follow God? How do we actually walk this thing out? And hearing a pastor like you who's walked this out for quite a few years is so encouraging to all of us. So thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you for being a part of Explore the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.